You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Coming up on the Orange is the New Black podcast, we're going to talk about the Jaguars recap game from Thursday Night Football, and then we're going to take a look at the Green Bay Packers game. Stay tuned.
Hello, world. What separated your deep ball from everybody else?
My deep ball, it has a little secret sauce to it, man.
I never get too high, never get too low, but just keep moving.
The whole story is Carlos never beat me in any kind of sports in high school.
Welcome to the Orange is the New Black podcast. I'm your host, Ace Boogie, joined by my co-host, Zim. Zim, say what's up.
Hello, world. How's everybody doing this evening? I hope everybody's had a very productive, I don't even know what day it is, because I'm still catching up from last week.
Wednesday.
Still trying to, today's Wednesday. Thank you for that, Ace. And I'm still catching up from all the stuff from last week. Just a crazy, I had a crazy week coming out of it, and that, just an amazing Thursday night. Really happy that everybody came out. Ace, how are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling the same, bro. I luckily got the recharge for the past couple of days. I know that you had to go out of the country after, like, straight from literally the day after the game. I had to drop you off at the airport.
I was like, Ace took me to the airport. And you know what's so crazy? I'm so glad you took me there at that time, because I was there an hour filling out paperwork that I hadn't filled out.
Oh,
so
that's good.
So if I didn't get there that early, I'd have missed my whole flight.
Nah, it was written, bro. It was written, like you said, the Jags dub, and it was written that we just had to drop you off at that time so you can make it. But I've been doing good, bro. I've just been, like, relaxing and getting back into the swing of things. I know a lot of people are like, you haven't posted much. I posted the vlog, and I've been working on some of the other videos. And shout out to our man, Elliot Xavier. He put some crazy work out there. For us, so definitely shouts out to him. But the whole experience, bro, like, even just rewatching the videos, it was just so much going on throughout that whole span. Like, everything from Midwest, shout out to them, Midwest Best Barbecue.
Shout
appreciate
out to
us
Midwest.
Being able to come.
Oh my god, that food was so good. That food,
man,
is...
the food was super good. The food was super good. I'm not gonna lie, the only regret I had was that we didn't get more footage of food, and we couldn't really do that because, you know, we were eating and stuff at that time, but that food, those brisket fries, the Zim and Ace basket, bro.
Just to put everybody up on it, I don't know if y'all follow me on Twitter, but I started a 7-day juice cleanse like a day ago. I'm on day two, going to day three tomorrow. And I'm a dude that eats a lot of food. So me thinking about that Midwest, I'm just like, oh my God. It gives me it makes me feel lightheaded or something. So the juice cleanse is good products, good stuff, whatever. But, you know, it ain't nothing like no real, you know, some real eating. So if you are in the Ohio area, please make sure y'all check out my man Tim and his wife Nicole. They got a really, really, really good spot. I thought we had a really, really good show. I don't know if you guys saw it. We had Kevin Huber just pop up and came on the show. We also did a call with Jeff Hobson. Also did a call with my boy Mike Daniels. We weren't really, really set up beforehand. So I think people were telling us that there was some audio issues and different things like that. But I think for the people that were there, like, it was loud and clear, and, you know,
the event
was a success. So I'm really, really happy that we actually got to do that, you know, because I know we have been talking about that for a while. And a lot of times, you know, people talk about different events or different things that they're going to do, and then it doesn't, you know, never comes to fruition. So I was really, really excited. Like, while we were there, like, I was just like, man, we really made it happen. People are there. And I mean, we gave out prizes galore, like coupons. A whole lot of orange shirts, so it was lit, and I hope we can run that back.
Nah, definitely. Shout out to those folks at Midwest Best Barbecue. Shout out to all of the fans that came out. We truly appreciate y'all. Like, as soon as we pulled up, y'all were waiting on us, so we truly appreciated that. But let's get into the game, like the actual game itself, because we were watching the game. We were sitting there watching it. We had Joe Goodberry in front of us, Jake Lisco from Locked On. We had Malik was sitting next to me. What were just your thoughts on the game?
Shout out to my man Blake,
Oh, Jules. Blake as well. Blake
and Kamish Quintana.
Kamish, yeah, yes.
Yaz was in the building. That's my dog. She looked out for me. I don't know if y'all saw me. I was on the sideline. And that was all because of my baby sis Yaz. Like, she made it happen. Long story short, but it was on the sideline. That was something I had never done. But in my mind, I always dreamed about it. Or I told my wife that a couple times. Like, you know, like one day, you know, like I'm always be on it. And me, and when I think I first met Ace, I said, man, we need to get credentials so we can get on the sideline. I'm like there and I'm walking on the sidelines. I'm saying what's up to the players. Fred had my. If you guys watch the show, we interviewed Fred Johnson. I think I saw Chris Evans. It was kind of like a blur because everything was moving so fast.
So fast it was.
But I mean, yeah. I was standing next to Tyler Boyd's mom, and I remember Tyler Boyd came over, like a couple people, and I'm just like, "Dang, like this is really happening." So that was really, really crazy. We go to the game. We're in the stands. I mean, I got the confetti. We're you know, like the energy is there. I think people are like, man, is he really like that in real life? So, man, I'm going to tell you, the guys that were sitting behind me, shout out to the Jags guys that were sitting behind me, because honestly, there's a lot of people that probably would have seen all of those orange jerseys and said, man, I don't know, we should sit right here. So they sat there and everything like that. But I only bring that up because I told the guy when we had the fourth down stop, I said, that was big. That was major. Because if they would have went up 21-0, I don't think that it's possible, but it would have been like a crazy circumstance where you'd be talking about the Bengals getting an onside kick or, you know, like something crazy. So that stop was really big. I'm going to tell you the other thing, and we could go over some things in the game. But the fourth and four, when they punted it back to us, I looked at the Jazz guy behind me and I said, that's it. You know, like, and I said, one day, and I told the guy this, I said, one day you'll know that's it when Trevor Lawrence gets a better team around him and everything's like really, really in place. Maybe even a new coach finding out some of the stuff that's happening with him. But when you got it and you know, it's like I prayed for these nights to have like this guy, Joe Burrow. I never knew it would be Joe Burrow, you know, but when you got it and you know you got it, it's so fun. And when they punted the ball to us on that 4th and 4, I looked at him, I said, that's it. That's all you got. And see, we were on the opposite of that for the last 9 years where we were the team punting it.
You're right.
And I was sitting there, everybody's at home like, I wonder if they're going to pull it out. Or it might go the other way where they pointed to us and you knew you weren't going to win. So I thought that was like my biggest memory from that game is the feeling that I had when the game wasn't even over. I felt the same way when Justin Fields broke the tackle on the 3rd and 9 because I went back and watched that play the other day. Had they kicked the ball back to us, it's a dub.
It's a dub. It's an easy dub.
I go watch condensed versions of like games like Chiefs a lot. I watch the Packers a lot. And a lot of their games and fans, and we said this on the show last week, a lot of the games look like that, where you just have to get your guy back the ball one more time, and he goes and wins it. So fans that think that we're just supposed to go out there and just blow teams out the water, like the Cardinals might go to the Super Bowl. The Jaguars gave the Cardinals the week right before.
A run for their money. Nobody talked about it.
Right. So I was like, ain't no scrubs. Ain't no scrubs in the National Football League. If you don't come and bring your A game, them dudes get paid a lot of money. They're going to come with it. So I just thought that was like my favorite moment is like knowing when they punted the ball. Like I didn't have – like you know me, I'm super – you know, I'm going to be optimistic anyway. But, man – I looked at everybody. I said, "This is it, guys! Like that's the game. We won, you know."
And so remember, I think we had tied it up, and you had thrown the confetti on, I think the touchdown before that,
right?
And then I was like, "Hold it, because you're gonna need it for the game."
That's a fact. Yeah,
and it was just an amazing.
I was gonna throw all of it. I was gonna throw all of it.
He was gonna throw it all back out there, but it was an amazing game, like you said, like to be able to just attend that game with all the different personalities and everybody bringing, you know, their certain aspect to that experience, right? It just was organic for real. Like watching Joe Goodberry get upset on the second and like 19 run. And,
He's always like on Twitter, he's always like, go for it. And to see him in real life, like,
go
for it. And I be, you know, sometimes he says that I'd be like, no, you shouldn't go for it, Joe. But to see him like that on every fourth down is just like, and he really is really with it. He really, right. Like,
nah, he was definitely with it. Like the first half, I will say, like, it was really impressive to me what Trevor Lawrence kind of did with like that read option, and you could tell that he was kind of coming into his own, getting kind of comfortable settling them down, similar to what we saw with Joe Burrow. Although Joe Burrow kind of did it at an accelerated pace, you still saw like, okay, Trevor is coming to play today. He's not going to give us the three interceptions. Man. It's not going to be that. But low key, Joey B was on point in the first half. We just weren't really converting too much. He still threw for almost 100 yards in the first half. And then we get into the second half. And the one thing is, a lot of people talked about the play calling. That's cool. I was happy for him, for Zach to be aggressive as far as the pass. I just didn't agree with the way that he kind of set up the pass. Like, if you're not going to run, when he was running like the play action and stuff, that was the only thing that I kind of had a disagreement with, because it was like, if you're not going to run, they're not going to go for those play actions.
Right.
And then like we talked about the second and 19 run, but they come out in the next half and they're just on fire. Like, we already, I don't know if
you score every drive.
You've seen the mic'd up, right? With Joey B. Yeah, he was like, this is some BS. Like, it's time to take over.
It was like, it's time to take over.
That was literally what happened in the second half. I mean, Tyler Boyd had a great first half, continued that momentum in the second half. They started to go to chase. CJ Uzoma in this game, though, like, bruh, he like completely took over in that second half. It was crazy. But the energy at the game, like us making sure that we just kept the jungle going, especially on defense. Even when the Jags were like gashing us for yardage, we still were going hard on every third down. And the city was just rocking. So the whole way that game played out just left us with so much joy, because it's like, this is one of the games that we would have lost last year. We would have found a way to lose this game. And I think that it's a big step forward for this team as far as showing the moxie to be able to get a game like that.
I scored every single drive in that second half. I posted the mic'd up. So if you guys get a chance, you can go on my Instagram, Zim_Hude or ZimHude on Twitter. I posted the full entirety. I mean, there's some key moments in there. And it's just so crazy. When I don't want to be long-winded, but like before he even came there, I used to tell you, I'm like, man, I'm watching his interviews and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he's like, you know, like one of the guys, like he's one of us. And to see like the mic'd up, he's just like, yeah, put the ball in my hands. Then the Jags score. My favorite part is the Jags score. And he's like, yeah, well, let's go do it again. Let's do it again. Let's go do it again. You know, and I'm like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, facts. Man, we about to have some fun. And that was my whole thing this whole year. Even the Bears game. Right. It was ugly at first, you know, but it got fun. What's up, Cody? My man Cody in here. What's up, bro?
Shout out to Greg Luther.
Shout out to Greg.
Out, man.
Greg got a lifetime membership over in Midwest at this point, because we did trivia live at Midwest, and Greg answered like 10 questions. Then he took the mic and answered it. Do you remember when Greg went and did his own question?
Yeah. That was fire.
So Greg got all the coupons and everything like that. But at the game, too. Yeah, like Joe doing all those things, it just made me feel really, really good about the situation. But I think afterwards too, some of my favorite highlights our boy Xavier sent us too. If you guys don't know, there's a link. I put it on my story on Instagram and on Twitter. There's probably so many pictures of all of you guys in there. So make sure y'all check it out. It doesn't cost no money or anything like that. It's a big Hude photo gallery. We have the tailgate, all of that. It's like probably 1,000 pictures in there. So if you're looking for a picture of yourself, a professional picture of yourself or video at the game, open that up. But afterwards, you know, like I immediately started seeing people and I'm like, man, we're going to playoffs, you know, like because I, you know, to be 3-1, I don't know what history says, but to be 3-1, you got to mess up a lot to like not getting now that we got 17s in this bad boy, and you got an extra game, and Joey B is that number one rated. He's the FedEx player of the week. He is the AFC, you know, he's the offense. He was given the AFC offensive player of the week. So, yeah. You know, he's on fire right now. This is the stretch that we were talking about last year where he was in that stretch with the Titans that was leading up into the Washington football team game. But he's on fire right now. And when you got a guy on fire like that, honestly, it really doesn't matter who's out there. He's going to make sure the right guy gets it. He goes to the press conference yesterday. He says, you know, like now I got the whole playbook in the back of my head. I got the whole thing. And his famous quote is, oh, yeah, you can't zero me, you know. And I feel like somebody wrote that in my comments. They was like, man, I'm going to start using it. And I feel like Bengals fans should start saying that. It's like, you know, y'all can't zero us. Like, you can't try to blitz us on some media stuff and try to make us seem like we're lesser than you. Like, you can't zero us. Like, our talent is our talent. We know that we've been had so many players run through this thing. Best wide receivers that the league has ever seen. Like, some of the best offensive linemen the league has ever seen, you know. So, don't try to zero us. And I just thought it was so many good things. So, we turn up afterwards. I'm shaking everybody's hands because in my mind, I'm a complete psychopath. And I feel like I'm a coach. So, I'm, like, saying, everybody, y'all had a good game, man. Play. Because I feel like the fans were really important in that. So, you know, it's like – and that's the energy. Everybody got to bring that, you know, to the game. So, I'm shaking hands like, you played your ass off, son. He played everybody – at first, it was looking at me like, what? And then after a while, it's like, you know what? I did play my ass off. I'm like, yeah. You were in there. You were turned. I seen you. What's up,
Aquila the Great, in the comment section? Go ahead, Zim.
And then after that, you know, I also told you, I said, hey, look, when we go to town, you know who we're going to be with.
Yes, sir.
You know, so I don't know if y'all peeped that. So we hanging with the guys. We're just trying to build some relationships and, like, build some stuff because we don't really get too much help behind the scenes, just to put that out there. So we're kind of relying on the players to kind of get us maybe catapulted to a different level. So I thought it was good that we had a chance to interact and hang out with some of our favorite players after the game, too.
Nah, that was the craziest, like, every chain of events, Zim. Like you said, the Midwest Best Barbecue event, Kevin Huber just popping up on us, like, us not knowing that he was going to be there. The game, everything, the energy from the game and how that all went. And then to end it with, like, you know, Tyler Boyd dapping him up. He comes in. He's like, what up, Zim? Daps you up. I do the levels thing. He like, hey, like, it was dope. And then Chase walks in, right? Like, chasing up. The thing that stuck out the most to me with that is that it was the entire receiving corps that ended up coming into
even Trent.
Even Trent Irwin with the bucket hat on, swagged out. He was in, like.
Let me tell you, we were in a place that a lot of people probably wouldn't go. Yeah. I'll just put that out there. Like, a lot of people probably wouldn't go, but Trent Irwin was in there.
He was with it.
He was the only white guy in there, but he was in there. And he was very comfortable. But I think, like, but I mean, I think that's one thing that Quentin Spain was telling us is that everybody, all the position groups, are trying to hang out a lot more. And, you know, it could, like, I think some people were a little critical when they were, like, messaging me and saying, like, what are they doing? You know, like, whatever. But I feel like some things about this Bengals unit that people are going to find out throughout the years is not going to be super traditional because of the background of a lot of these guys that are coming from areas that you probably don't understand. So their idea of bonding might be going out. Your idea of bonding might be going playing bowling or something like that. But as long as everybody's unified in that effort, then I think it's all the same to me because I come from that. Like, you know, I just, you know, I ain't start doing other stuff till I went to, like, college. Like, when I was younger, it was club in the hood, like, down the street, you know, like, it was that. So a lot of these guys are strong-minded, smart individuals, but, you know, they're going to hang out the way that they want to hang out, not how you want to hang out. But I know some people were kind of like, what are they doing? And that's the only reason why I even said that, but. Mm-hmm. I thought everybody was they were really cool, man. I just think that for the most part, I was really impressed. Like you said, the whole wide receiver core was there.
Yeah. Because that just showed, like, there's somebody said that there's like no egos, like there's no egos on this team and everybody. So yeah, Trent Irwin is coming out and turning up with us. Like, we're not leaving Trent Irwin behind.
What you think about saying Uno, like, just like I seen, like, Auden Tate, remember when I said I was on the sideline, right?
Yeah.
Auden Tate in pads is a large individual, right?
Right.
But Jamar Chase in person.
Yeah.
T. Higgins is tall, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. I know y'all probably seen the pictures of us in all these instances. But Jamar Chase's demeanor and, like, just his, like, his back, yeah, it's just like, like, that's not somebody, like, that's ever probably had a problem with no fights or anything like that. Like, he looked like a straight-up enforcer. I know he's not the tallest or the biggest, mm-hmm, but, like, something about the structure of, like, his back and everything like that is just, like, way bigger than everybody. So yeah. I'm just thinking, as I'm seeing him, like, when I seen him in person, I'm like, yeah, like, nobody wants to tackle him. If you notice, every time he gets the ball, like, and it's not a deep route, he'll get it and he'll be trying to do that P-dub step where he, like, backs up because he knows if he gets a little bit of space, you can't bring, like, he's –
You can't bro, bring him down.
Bro, he has like a Saquon Barkley back, a Saquon Barkley like leg, like everything about him is kind of weird because seeing him on TV or whatever, or seeing interviews, you can't really see this stuff. You can't really
see that. Right.
You know, and then I saw Tyler Boyd, not to say that he's small, but to see his body structure and some of the hits that he takes over the middle, he's very different. Like, he's not a big crazy. Now, he's around a bunch of 6'2", T. Higgins type, Auden Tate, big guys, but he's not somebody that's like big in stature. He looked like a rapper, you know, like with chains on and just cool, chilling, right?
Right.
I've seen him in person before, but to see what he does in a game, to go 11 targets, 9 catches, 8 of those over the middle against them, you know, like that's not an easy task, bro.
Right. Nah, I'm with you. I think, like you said, all of them, for the most part, Jamar definitely did stick out. And I think just like the conversations that we had with him, he was just a confident dude, not cocky or anything like that, but he still was about business. It wasn't like how the lady in the media tried to portray it. I think she tried to misquote him and say, I want to break every record, like worry about your team winning. It wasn't like that when we ran into him. He just was a solid dude, was ready to get the next W.
He, I'm gonna tell you, out of him, he's the fine medium between Ocho Cinco and AJ Green. It's like they got together, it just said, you know what I mean? Because he'll dance for you, and he'll go gritty on you if it's time to celebrate. He'll give you a couple of little things, but he's never gonna get on a camera. Or at least I don't think he's on the film. I mean, on the field, and says like, "Oh yeah, like I'm always open and talking trash." I don't even think he doesn't even look like somebody that talks to anybody on the field. Kind of like how AJ Green is, like super quiet. But if you ask him questions, he'll give you a truthful answer, right. And that truthful answer might have a lot of confidence behind it. And that's what I love about him. Him and Joe Burrow are a lot of like Joe. I think Joe Burrow probably talks more than Jamar. Seeing Jamar in person, like, remember how he was? He wasn't really talking that much in there.
Right.
Like, he's not somebody that's about to be talking a lot.
Right.
Even when I was talking to him, you know, like, I had talked to him briefly or whatever before, but it, you know, whatever. But this time, I just was kind of being able to observe how people were interacting and stuff. But he definitely is like the dude, like, not to mess with. He's like the leader of the pack as a rookie. Like, you could just tell. And T is just so genuine and so cool of a person that he just reminds me of, like, doesn't he seem like he's just the cousin or the friend that everybody like that? He was the most popular in high school. He might have won best dressed, all these different things like that. But like, T is just like the guy that everybody likes. Everybody in the world isn't gonna like Jamar because he's gonna be really, really honest, and he's going to be really, really brash with the comments like you alluded to by saying like, hey, I'm gonna break every single record. Everybody's not going to like that. See, T. Higgins probably would never ever say something like that, even though T. Higgins is going to break a lot of records. So I just thought it was so crazy, like how they are off the field is they actually, you know, mirror that on the field.
Nah, yeah, that was the dopest part about it. And, you know, just them engaging with us, because I've been some places, like some football players won't engage with people, but like they were turned up with the city locked in. And that was what really stuck out the most to me in that situation for sure. But like you said, at the same time, that did have like a parallel to them on the field.
Yeah, nobody's messing with, I'm telling y'all this in person, nobody's messing with Uno in real life. And I think that translates to the field. I think you're going to see like some jerks where he gets like a 10, 15 yard and just going to be like, get off me and just take it to the house. Right. Like he just looks like that.
Nah, he does. And transitioning to the next topic of the Packers, that was something that we kind of talked about with C. Higgins was, you know, the Migos versus the Packers and Burrow versus Rodgers next week. So coming into that game, we kind of talked about it a little bit on Twitter yesterday. We talked about Jair Alexander possibly being out of that game, Za'Darius Smith possibly being out. I think I also heard Kevin King potentially may be out. For the Bengals, though, we were at the game. We did see Mixon sustain that injury. I believe it's an ankle injury, a sprained ankle or something like that. He's currently day-to-day, I believe. But I think the expectation from majority of Bengals fans, we don't have this confirmed, we're kind of expecting him to miss this game. I think that personally for me, there is no better time to play the Packers other than right now. With Jair Alexander down, with the Za'Darius Smith missing, those are like, honestly.
And Preston. Preston's out too.
Preston too. Like, those are their best players on defense.
Desmond King is still out too.
Yeah, King as well. So, like, coming off of a performance like Joe Burrow just had, like we talked about earlier, AFC Offensive Player of the Week, he could redo that. Like, don't forget, like, the Packers week one, I forget which team it was, but they took off on him. It wasn't even close. The Saints, right? Wasn't it Jameis Winston and the Saints took off on him?
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of opportunity for the Bengals offensively to take full advantage of these guys. And I don't think they have anybody to guard the Migos. Like, that's probably like, I don't know if it came up when we were talking to T, but that's what I was thinking in my head. Like, they don't have three legit corners. Like, anytime that this Bengals team steps out, you're going to have a legitimate quarterback, a legitimate running back, and you're going to have three legitimate receivers. Now, obviously, with Joe Mixon out of this game, I think that spells more of our guy, Chris Evans. This is the perfect opportunity, I think, for him to get involved. Obviously, they're probably going to start off with Samaje Perine as kind of the big back. But I think that this fully opens the whole clip for the Bengals passing game in terms of getting Chris Evans involved and utilizing CJ Uzomah. I mean, he had his big coming out game last week. The other week, week one, he has the fourth down clutch catch to set up, not the fourth down, but the overtime clutch catch to set up the win. I think it was on fourth down. My bad. Yeah, it was on fourth down to set up the W. He's a wrinkle in this offense, and I think that the Bengals are being able to use different kind of weapons against this team. And I think Chris Evans, similar to a guy that the Browns actually have, Felton, the running back, I think the Bengals could kind of use Chris Evans like that. More so an asset in the passing game. And I think that they have a legit chance to beat this team. Like, a lot of people are going to say, oh, it's Aaron Rodgers. And that's very true. Aaron Rodgers has been a top quarterback in this league for quite some time. But I think Joe Burrow and Aaron Rodgers are going to potentially cancel each other out. And I think Joey B has the better weapons. And I think that there are more issues on that Packers defense than a lot of probably going to talk about.
Talk about Packers offensive line, too. So Packers a lot of
offensive line is having issues as well.
So they're on their third left tackle because Bakari is out, and then they had another injury. So they're on their third left tackle. They're starting a rookie center, and they got another guy that's kind of hobbled. I said that Preston Smith was injured. He did come out of that Steelers game with a questionable return with a shoulder injury. So somebody, I don't know if it's showing up on the injury report today, but he was right after that saying that he was hurt as well. So I he could play or not. I'm whatever. But
right.
The Packers, for people saying that, well, Aaron Rodgers is that dude and stuff like that. If Hendrickson is putting pressure on like how he's been and we get other guys to step up and put more pressure on them, their offensive line is not in good shape. So this is what I was telling people before the season. It's like this thing in people's mind about like, oh, we got to have the best offensive line in the world. The best quarterbacks in the NFL don't have the best don't have the best offensive lines in the world. The best quarterbacks in the NFL make their average offensive lines look way better than what they really are. Last week, most of our offensive line graded very, very low in the Jags game. Joey B was sacked one time. So people were like, well, how did they, whatever? Because Joey B manipulates the pocket like no other. What's his name? Carmen is having trouble like holding on to his blocks like weekly. Mm-hmm. He graded out at a 29.
Right.
I do remember Carmen having a really big block on the fourth down play. Pancake the guy. I think that's the one that set up the Uzama one. It wasn't a fourth down. I think it was a third down one on the zero blitz. But aside from that, though,
my one thing I want to say, I want to interrupt you real quick. Did you see what happened with Jackson Carmen did before the game started? Mm-hmm. He was the first person that walked out in the of the players, and then he immediately looked at the crowd and was like, turn up. He was like,
somebody told me that Prince did a somersault. Did you see that?
I didn't see it. Nah,
that Isaiah crazy. Prince at 300 pounds did a somersault when he came out to the field.
Nah, that's lit. If that happened, then that's
in the comments, y'all gotta tell me, is that true? Like, like three people told me that though. But Jackson Carmen in our offensive line and different things, like he's evolving, he's getting better, different things like that. I feel like our offensive line is way better than with their offensive line without Bakari. So that's what that was one of the things that I preached. Oh, it's up to these quarterbacks, like the elite ones, to elevate everybody's game around him. So you don't have to search for the greatest offensive line a la Baker Mayfield. He's still throwing nine picks with the very best offensive line in football, right? That's what happens when you keep on blocking for guys that aren't elite on that level. And that's not to say that Baker Mayfield is a legit quarterback. I think there is a world that he could win a Super Bowl in, but everything has to go right. Whereas Joe, he's going to make a lot of things look better. And I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have a bigger hill to climb in that regard come on this upcoming Sunday.
No, that's facts. I got a super chat here from DJ Mister. He says, sorry, I couldn't meet y'all last week, but the Packers just signed Jalen Smith. Does he play this week? Also, if Joe Mixon doesn't play, how do you think we will hold against Kenny Clark and company? Jalen Smith, honestly, I'm going to just keep it a buck. I'm not worried about Jalen Smith. Like, the way that Tyler Boyd and CJ Uzomah just ate up a linebacking core that consisted of Miles Jack, who I think is miles better than Jalen Smith, I'm not really worried about that. And I doubt that if he does play with him being a linebacker, you know, most of the times, depending on if he's an inside linebacker or outside, I don't know which position that they're going to play him at. But if he's the Mike, he definitely isn't playing this week. He'd have to know all of the calls and everything like that. But I would imagine him getting in there, but I don't think that he's going to be a huge difference maker, especially when you talk about in coverage against this team. I'm expecting us to come out throwing a lot. So would he step up in coverage? I don't really see that personally. Zim, do you have any opinions on Jalen Smith and what he would bring to the Green Bay defense?
I think at the very least, if somebody asked me, Do you think the Bengals should, you know, go after Jalen Smith? And I told them I didn't think so because the linebacker they're playing really well. But if you use Jalen Smith as just a stand-up edge, like in a 3-4 like ours or something like that, he could be super effective. And he is a great person to target to shadow a quarterback with if you go up against like a Lamar or something like that, right?
Right.
So as far as the impact goes, like probably week one, if he were able to play, I don't even know if that's even possible. Like, you can get a COVID test and do all these different things and whatever and be ready to go. So I don't know. But I just think, like, they wouldn't give him linebacker responsibilities, but they might use him like how I'm saying. Like, maybe he gets 12 different pass rush looks. Maybe he has, like, 3 or 4 snaps where he's, like, you know, playing, like, in their pure base. But I just can't see a world that he comes in and they're giving him responsibilities. You know,
not on a short turnaround like this. Like, so just got signed today on Wednesday and we're playing Sunday.
Right. So if you don't have responsibilities like that, what could you really do besides just go get the quarterback? So that's how I feel like he could impact the game. It's like, and he's very capable of doing that. He could come in on third downs and just rush the passer.
Nah, that's real. Joe Mixon doesn't play. Kenny Clark and company. I think they'll still be solid. I think, like Zim said earlier, the offensive line is definitely, in my opinion, way better than last year. I mean, we talked about Cleveland. No, we don't have the personnel that they have. I'm not saying that we're on the same caliber, but they've given up the same number of sacks this season. I mean, they just gave up three to the Vikings last week. Right. So I think that
they'll that's the best offensive line in football.
It is.
A lot of sacks don't go on your quarterback themselves. Like, I didn't see those sacks. So, one thing I'd be looking is Baker getting the ball? Is he getting rid of the ball, you know, like, where he should? Because even the Joe Burrow sack on Jaguars, man, every time Joe snaps, I go one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, pop. and if the ball doesn't – I say that in my head because I'm just weird. But every time he does that and the ball doesn't come out, I then start looking like, okay, that's on you, Joe. Right. Like that's how I look at all of his dropbacks, because I know they don't feel confident, and a lot of teams don't feel that confident in calling big stuff, big, long developing double route moves on third down. Like, the line is not there yet. Like, they're good enough to be good enough, you know, first, second down and run plays and block on third down. But to have long developing plays on third down, I just think that it takes a little bit of time. And usually you start seeing that from groups that have been together for years and stuff. So Steelers for years were able to call anything. They'll throw the whole kitchen sink at you because the line has so much uniformity. Everybody's like so cohesive with their unit and they're built like that. And they had one of the best offensive lines. Flash forward to now, Ben's getting the ball out quick. You'd be stupid to try to, like, you know, do anything different.
Right, nah, facts. My man Aquila the Great said that his dad took him to the Bengals game for the first time. He bought a Chase jersey and cried when the Bengals came back to win. Great night. And then my man Kyle McIntosh, appreciate you, bro. First off, who day all day, every day, especially on Sunday. Appreciate that, bro. F the Squealers, crap stains, and the birds. I'm very optimistic going into Sunday. How do you think our D will perform, honestly? And I think their first true test. For me, it comes down to Ricardo Allen coming back today, right? I'm hoping that he's going to be back in time to suit up if Jesse Bates is not ready. The Jesse Bates thing, I think, is the biggest part of this whole puzzle, right?
Because I think he played.
I think that they're going to play, though, like you said. I think that – and if they don't, I feel way more confident in a guy like Ricardo Allen. I said that a lot last week. Like, man, not that it reduces Jesse Bates, but Ricardo Allen is a starting level of safety. That's what he did in Atlanta, right? Like, we already knew what he would be in comparison to Brandon Wilson.
Right.
But I think that they will stand up, like you said, because at the end of the day, the trenches are what matters. And I think, like you said, Trey Hendrickson, the way that they're playing DJ Reader, they didn't get after it too much in the Jags game, but I think that they get back to that pace that they were on in this game.
This is one thing. I'm going to be very big on this. If I'm going to be critical on Zach, like in games, and I go to Twitter and I'll be like, what are you calling Zach? I got to show him, I got to be fair on the other regard, because I don't think any other outlet is going to do that. None of the other Bengals saying, they're not going to point out probably one thing that I know. Me talking to players this past week, they really, really love the fact that he trusted those guys. All, like, Cheeto could have played. Me and you know firsthand that T could have played.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, and some of these other guys, and Jesse, right? But Zach went out of his way and talked to the team and said, hey, look, this is a short week, and you guys are already limited. I need to see y'all go full before we play. I don't want to put your health in jeopardy. So we're not going to let you play on a short week, short turnaround. That's how major injuries happen. We're going to go win the game for you. And if you're feeling good this week coming up, when you're full, then you can go. And a lot of players really, really respected that. And because a lot of coaches wouldn't do that. A lot of coaches be like, if you're ready to play, then suit it up. And that took guts for Zach, because say they lose that game. Now, you know, you're looking really, really different in the division. Now you're a little bit scramble mode. So for them to let those guys get a rest and still come out with a dub was really important. I say all that to say this upcoming week, I think most of those guys play.
I think so too.
T went full today, right?
I believe so.
T went full. Base is still limited. Cheeto is limited.
Right.
But we'll see.
We'll see by probably Thursday or Friday. But yeah. The one thing that I want to hit on with Taylor is, and I saw one of the handshakes. I didn't realize he shook every person's hand. But there's a video going out on Twitter, like right at the end of the game. Zach like literally daps up every single player, like players that like the one that I saw was Joe Mixon. So I remember seeing that. And when you watch the full video, you know, I feel like now I don't know if other head coaches do this, but as an NFL head coach, that just shows that the man doesn't have any ego. He's willing to really connect with his players and really congratulate them at the end of the game. I thought that was dope. I thought
he called fire in the second half of that game too. A lot of that was on Joe, right? And a lot of things that I've been talking about, being aggressive in the chains. Their second down play calling, I went back and looked, hit on every single one of them. All of them pass plays, all of them aggressive. The second half of that football game, a lot of those major plays, like even the Jamar Chase. These are second down plays where they had been running, going conservative, and they just turned it up a notch. And that's not all on Joe Audubon at the line. Like, they actually called fire in the second half of that game. So that's another thing I wanted to say. I had some numbers, and I wrote it down too, but they were like – I want to say they were like 8-for-9 or 9-for-9 on second down conversions, like in the second half of that football game.
Yeah, they started turning up in that second half. My man – hey,
somebody said – Go ahead. Oh, no, I would say Darius Phillips. I was really, really big on the Darius Phillips train because I really, really – I know that he's an excellent punt returner, but I agree. Somebody just brought that up. He has been a liability. Like, in the last game, he was a liability on his decision-making. The one that he should have caught and ran back, he caught a fair catch, has plenty of space. Other one that he did take – he shouldn't have took. And so the last 2 weeks have been super shaky for Darius Phillips.
It's all good. My man is from New Jersey. He said, I'm worried about Jesse Bates and his contract situation. Do you see him being extended or will they franchise tag him? I think they talked about it today. You know, they have plenty of money to do it. We'll have to see how it plays out. You know, we heard some things. I don't know if I'm at privilege to say of certain people that were in the building, but we'll just see how it plays out. I mean, that's all we can do is wait and see what they do. But I think that these two sides hopefully will resolve that conflict. My man Camo says the Bengals have decent success this year. Do you think the Bengals will be able to get some bigger free agents? I think they're already getting some free agents. But, yeah, if Joey B turns up, who wouldn't want to play with Joey B?
Did you see the quote DJ Reader said this past week? He said when he was in free agency, he was like, who you going to bet on, Joe Burrow or Drew Locke?
Kenny Golladay for not signing with us so we could have a Jamar Chase factor.
So a lot of fans, and you know what's so crazy about winning? I think it's like starting to get people to be like, all right, I get it, right? But one thing is, I remember leading in free agency and stuff, I always get these DMs or I always get these messages of fans saying, that guy's not going to come here. That guy wouldn't come here. But I think people are starting to slowly see that just because this isn't the most spending, you know, franchise out there, it doesn't mean that it doesn't make it a desirable location. Like, guys want to go somewhere where they can look good and they can get paid. Some guys, some of the bigger free agents, are always going to want more guaranteed money. But people that always keep on saying, like, nobody's going to want to come here. Like, you tripping, whatever. Like, nah, guys want to come here. If the money was right every single instance, a lot more guys. You might see a Stephon Gilmore or somebody like that come across the screen. Like, you might see some stuff like that. But it takes a little bit of time of that, you know, to happen. And one thing I know about Joe Burrow is that he's going to be on ownership to make sure that they do right by guys. And I think Bengals always historically have done a really good job of retaining their own guys. I think it gets highlighted some off seasons with the guys that we don't bring back. We'll re-sign like 5 or 6 restricted free agents, and now it's like out of sight, out of mind, like, we took care of him. Then they highlight the Gio Bernards and people like that that just didn't even make sense like financially with the team. And then what happens? You go draft Chris Evans. But I remember that was the thing. You know, like, why you don't sign him? Like, we want to sign him. That doesn't make you cheap because you make decisions that make sense for your franchise. there are instances where they are cheap, but that isn't one of them. And I think out of all the franchises, I would like to see the number on it. But they do a really, really good job of usually retaining most of their guys. 2015 team was really all about their guys. It had nothing to do with free agency.
Right. Nah, that's real. I'm with you on that one. I think they definitely do a good job of retaining their guys. And, you know, you have to also take into account, like, a lot of these other owners, and I was telling my dad this, a lot of these other owners, they came from other sources of income. Like, with the Brown family, for the most part, their primary source of income is the Bengals. I'm not making excuses or anything for them, but when you look at the Jerry Joneses and all of these guys, and Jeff Bezos potentially might buy a team, with Jeff Bezos, that's not his main source of money. Like, so a lot of those guys can probably pull from bigger streams of income and stuff like that. So the Bengals try to do their own thing, similar to the Packers, similar to the Steelers, if we're being honest, in terms of the way that they go about things. I had another super chat here from Christian Palmer. I would love to see him throw it out of bounds more, as long as he doesn't turn into Dalton. I only remember seeing him do it once. I mean, if it's a throwaway, like, if it's necessary, cool. On fourth down, nah. You got to throw that pick. pick at least.
But you know what? That I think that's a very interesting point that he said that. But, you know, like, the sack that he took this past week, that is a throw that Tom Brady throws away. And he lives for another down. But one thing about prime Joe Burrow is that there are going to be some moments, like we saw in the Steelers game, where he jukes out of stuff, twists out of stuff, and gets it. And in his mind, he thinks he can always do that. But there's got to be a fine medium between it. So I understand. I'm sorry, I forgot Christian. Who asked that question. Christian, but I do agree with you. Like, some of those instances, it's always, in hindsight, it's always easy to say, man, you should have threw it out of bounds. But Joe Burrow is really different, where he twists out a lot of that stuff sometimes, and you just never know. So it's easy for us to say that now. But think about all the plays, like even the one where he throws the T. Higgins on the sideline last year, the one where he gets out of like eight defenders. Like, he could have easily been sacked on that play. He got out of all that crap and then threw a dart on the sideline. And nobody said, oh, you should have threw it away. We all just cheered, right? So you got to understand, like, it.
If he was having, like, the Jameis Winston 30 for 30 hero ball on every single play,
right,
then I would say that. But this is Joe Burrow. It's a completely different guy. Right. Is there someone y'all are hoping to bring that we bring in even for a visit / interview?
Uno.
Oh, yeah. Uno, for sure.
Uno, Joe Burrow.
Yeah, facts.
I'm with you. Gotta beat him, too. I feel like – Just some background stuff. I feel like I know enough people. Y'all all seeing that we all, you know, we're around them, and it's not hard for me. But one thing that me and Ace try to do is make sure that some of our relationships and stuff are like organic and not so forced. Because there's so many people in this industry that will go through whatever just to get something, and then by the time you get it, it's not even real. One thing that I think we pride ourselves on is, like, you know, real, you know, like real organic stuff. So
stuff like that,
So in my mind, I don't know when that interview will come. The time has just got to be right. I know I'm going to be lit. I know Ace going to be you know what I'm saying? But, like, you know, those are the two that are, you know, you got to. Is Ocho Cinco on your list like that too?
Yeah, definitely. One day
he had liked a tweet or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was like really, really early in the morning. And I messaged on it. I said, everybody, y'all gotta at Ocho Cinco and let him know that it's time. Because I really felt, I was like, this is a good moment, because it was a part where fans weren't quite believing in Ja'Marr Chase and stuff like that. And I wanted to interview Ocho Cinco so he could kind of reel everybody back in. I thought the timing on that would have been great, but I couldn't make it happen. We had like 300, everybody was like adding them. And I know he probably saw it, but he probably got so many people pulling them in every direction. That's one of the weird ones that I don't know if I'll ever get.
Nah, we not going to say that, bro.
I don't know.
We have to see. We'll have to see, Ocho. If you
is that what people want, though? Do you feel like people want to see?
Oh, Chad on here.
They want to see the Orange is the New Black with Ocho. I feel like Ocho. Me and him, we will just be talking that stuff. Like, you know, like how he be talking, like, you know how confident. You ever seen him in an interview and he talks to and he be like, yeah, the Bengals gonna win the division and stuff, like, you know, like,
yeah.
I really feel like I probably would get unlocked. You probably get the first episode of me on here cursing, because I don't know if I would be able to like contain myself on that one.
Nah,
like, if he start talking that Ocho talk for real, then we get like a we get a list and we just start like lining out the cornerbacks that we're going to torch and stuff like that. I don't know how I would be able to stop myself.
Nah, it would be crazy, bro. But once again, shout out to the folks at Midwest Best Barbecue. Shout out to Bad Boy. The memberships are still going live, so be sure to check them out as well. I guess we will see you guys more than likely after the game week, so stay tuned for that. We'll have the post game show as well. Make sure that you guys subscribe to the Cincy Jungle podcast on all audio platforms. If you're looking for us, we have us there. We have the OBI Insider. We also have Coach Minnick. He's got the, I think it's Coach Speak now, so it's not Chop Sock anymore, but it's still Mac Minnick. So definitely be sure to holler at us. Zim, there was something that you wanted to say before we get out of here.
I wanted to say this. I just came back from Colombia. That's why I'm really tired. I'm sorry. I like yawn like one or two times. I'm still like jet lagging from coming from Cartagena. Like, why was I there? Right. Crazy area. But my highlight was this. I wore a Joe Burrow jersey to the club one night. And believe it or not, two people yelled out Hootay to me. So I wanted to share
that's
that.
That's crazy. That's fire.
Yeah. That's fire. So I thought that was dope. I was so twisted. I didn't want to be like, hey, bro, like, come look at my page. Normally, I'd be like, hey, look, you like the Bengals? You want to? But I was so twisted. I just was like, Hootay. And then later on, I was like, no, that's crazy.
That is crazy. But of course, we got to end this with a yes.
Sirski.
Hello, world. What separated your deep ball from everybody else?
My deep ball, it has a little secret sauce to it, man.
I never get too high, never get too low, but just keep moving.
The whole story is Carlos never beat me in any kind of sports in high school.